Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you and keep you. In Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask you, like your disciples said, teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. Good prayer. Teach us to pray, Lord. What we need to pray about. And help us to find your will and seek your will, cooperate with you in prayer. Many people pray prayers that are just contrary to the scriptures, but we want to pray according to your will. If we ask anything according to your will, we know you hear us, and we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of you. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, I think I'm going to continue with Pray Prayers of the Word. This will be part two. And yes, it's good to seek the will of the Lord in prayer. He can reveal to us through dreams and visions and revelations and words from the Bible what we should pray for and how we can pray in accordance with His will. One of the most important ones, which I also started with in part one, or pretty close to starting it, and that is Mark 11:24. Because this is something that we should all do, and it is speaking about believing you have received, right? Wherefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for. So that's all prayer, right? We should remember this, because this is where power comes from. I know that the prayer of importunity is out there. It's good prayer. It's when you are not standing fast on your prayers as you pray them. The prayer of importunity is a prayer of God being weak to the weak. But this is His will. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them. It's literally past tense. Even the received text has the footnote of received them, and you shall have them. You shall have them. This is why people are not getting answers to their prayer. They're praying vain repetitions, right? So remember that in all that we say today. And also Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to the end that thou ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up praying. We need prayer, especially in these days when there's so much craziness out there, you know. It's a most opportune time. We are the people that God listens to, because we know what prayer is about. We know what He's doing in these days. Many prayers go unanswered because they're not according to the will of God. That's why we study these prophetic things, what God says in these days, so we can get in His will. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. That doesn't mean you have to pray about the same thing over and over, though. First one I want to point out here is Jesus' prayer for His people. I know that this is Jesus' prayer, and there's some things in here that don't really, you know, particularly completely apply to us, except the fact that He lives in us. Okay. And otherwise, we'll see other things in here that are just awesome that we need to pray about. And that's John 17:1-26. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, Father, the hour is come. So this is His prayer. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee. Well, this is it. I mean, the glory that we have comes from Him. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. It's the Lord that does it, but it's our faith that makes it legal, right? So, Lord, we pray the same thing, Lord. Glorify us that we can glorify You. Amen. Even as Thou gavest Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He should give eternal life. Well, he's still giving people to him. We see them around us. We see them coming to God, either through the gospel that we preach or whatever. We see them coming to God, and they've been given to him. So, and this is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. Yep, and Jesus said that even as the Father sent him, so send he us, right? So he is also sending us, and it's the same. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. I pray that we all do that. We all have a work to do, and Jesus in us will do that work, and that's why we have to exercise our faith in him. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Oh, praise God. The ones that the Father gives us, they will keep the word. And the rest, you know, go astray, just like the parable of the sower. Now they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given unto them, and they received them. You know, we have a right to preach what the Bible says. And we have a right to give out the word that's already been given out. We sow the seed of God, you know. Paul said, you have not many fathers, but I begat you through the gospel. It was the good news that God gave unto him that he passed out that brought forth the fruit. It's the only thing that brings forth the fruit is the true word of God. And knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. Yes, anybody that God sends, they will get one of two results. The wicked will rail, and the righteous will know that this has been sent of God. Amen. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And this will be proven. Who it is that was given to Jesus will be proven, because they will bear fruit. They will keep thy word. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no more in the world, and these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. I would say the same thing. We come to you, Father. And we're no more in the world. The old worldly man is dead. He was crucified with Christ. And we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Glory be to God. Keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Oh, that's a good prayer. That they may be one as we are. Those whom the Father has given unto Jesus will be one flock and one shepherd. That's what he said. And while I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Well, amen. The scripture still has to be fulfilled. Jesus is still preaching the word out of his people, and it's still the truth. He's guarding them that belong to him, and none of them will perish. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, he said. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The son of perdition amongst the disciples will fall away. That's how it works. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Yes, Lord, we invite your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you for filling us with joy in even bearing our cross, Lord, in Jesus' name. I've given them thy word, and the world hated them. Yes, it's still true. Because they are not from the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world. Obviously, the world was created. Actually, it's the dirt that brings forth the fruit of the seed that's sown in it, right? That's right. I pray not for the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one, or the evil. One was added. Yes. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name, that you will keep all of your disciples out there listening to my voice today. Keep them from the evil. No, not that you take them out of the world. We have it has its work to do. The world, the dirt, basically puts the seed to death so that the inner part of the seed bears that fruit. It just comes forth, right? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, even so sent I them into the world. Amen. There it is. Well, he sends us with the same authority and power because he lives in us by his word and by his spirit. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Yes, if we are not sanctified of the worldly, sanctified, separated from the sin, how can we pass on anything but what we are? That's the problem, you see. And tribulations and trials come to separate the wheat from the tares because God wants a sanctified body, and the tares are not part of it. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. Amen. It goes on and on, doesn't it? Praise God. Lord, we pray for a great revival out there and multitudes to come into the kingdom, and that you would keep them. And thank you, Father, that they all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Amen. We are one in Christ. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Yes. This was his prayer. And men came in to divide. Yes. They've done it. They'll do it all the way to the end. But what they're doing is dividing themselves, because the factious don't have any part in the kingdom of God. He won't have it in his kingdom. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me and lovest them even as thou lovest me. Amen. He loves us. Father loves us. And Jesus loves us. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given to me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me. And, of course, all of the true people of God are going to know Jesus and those whom Jesus sends. They're going to know. And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. And Jesus in us will bring forth this fruit, right? Because he died on the cross, he took our curse upon him. He took away our sins. We can reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Because of what he did, we can enter into him, and he can enter into us. Amen. So I'm going to look at some more individual verses here. Matthew 9 and 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, that was on the heart of Jesus, and it still is. And Father, we do pray that in the name of Jesus, that you'd send forth laborers into this harvest. The harvest is ripe. War is being made upon your people, Lord. And we just ask you to strengthen your people to go forth and do your will and to be a part in this harvest. Everybody can be a part in this harvest. In Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you." Just think about the Apostle Paul. Somebody was praying for the Apostle Paul. And guess what? He became a mighty warrior, right, for God, a mighty apostle for the Lord. So pray. Pray for your enemies. I mean, remember the early church? Paul was one of their enemies. You know, pray for them that persecute you. And Luke 6:28 says, "Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you." Amen. Amen. Have to do it. Friends, it's a command from the Lord, and you'll be surprised what God can do, right? Matthew 21:13, "And he saith unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer." Now, you could meditate on that for a while, couldn't you? "But you have made it a den of robbers." Yes, the merchandisers, those who want to make money and profit off of God's people, they're not really a part of this house. That's why Jesus drove them out, right? He drove them out. "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Let us pray. Let us be a part of God's house. Let us pray. Amen. In Matthew 21:22, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So, just slightly different from Mark 11:24, but it's, you know, God says it to us in different ways sometimes so that we can catch it. He said, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." You see, we need to have prayers answered because this is how God changes things in the earth. This is how he does things in the earth. He does it through men. Just as men brought the curse upon the earth, God decided it would be through men that he would deliver the earth from the curse. And the manifestation of the sons of God is what he said would do that. And that, of course, is Christ in us. Amen? Yes, Lord, do it for us, Lord. Do it for us. The world needs to see you. They don't need to see us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Matthew 26:41. "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Now, this is an important one because it's always out there, right? "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Yep, the flesh wars against us. The flesh wants to sleep. And, Jesus, you know, told his disciples they didn't need to sleep. They needed to pray. Please pray. And Lord, we pray that you bless us not to enter into temptation. Not that we won't be tempted, but not to enter into temptation. We're all going to be tempted. That's part of you. That's what your word says. It points this out. But we don't have to enter into the temptation. It means give in to the temptation. Thank you for keeping us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Mark 11:17. "And he taught and said unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." There it is again. I evidently slipped it in there twice. It must be that the Lord really wants us to pay attention to that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we definitely want to see your church come forth like the early church. There's a great falling away of people who are professional ministers, but they're not, they're like those Pharisees in the beginning that made war against the real true ministers of the gospel. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that your people be delivered of all this, that they see through it, and that they know that freely you have received, freely give. And that these people will walk by faith. The leadership will walk by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Luke 10:2. "And he said unto them, The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest." You must have wanted that one too. I just sat down at different times and put all these together. And yes, Lord, we want a miracle in these days, Lord. We need a revival, Lord. The things that are coming upon the world are forcing, Lord, your people to prayer. And we thank you for that, Lord, because it's going to bring about a change. And it's going to bring about this great revival that's going to come after some pretty hard chastenings upon this earth. So, Father, thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke 18 and 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Well, you remember the story, right? The proud Pharisee was not like other men. He fasts and he does this and he does that, all these things that he does. But the poor publican over there was beating himself on the chest, saying, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." And, of course, the publican is the one that went away justified before God. And if you're not justified before God, he don't really hear your prayers. That's the problem. Prayers of repentance, like this man who knew he was not worthy, he hears. He hears the prayers of repentance. The prayers of the proud, he doesn't hear. They're a waste. So we need to humble ourselves when we go to pray to the Lord. He'll give grace to the humble. That's what he said. And that's what you need when you pray. You go boldly before the throne of grace to receive help in a time of need, right? And if we're humble, if we humble ourselves, confessing your sins is the most important thing to do before praying, is make sure everything is right with God so he will hear you, right? Humble yourself. Romans 8 and 26, in like manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, you know, Paul taught us very clearly, you know, what it is to pray in the Spirit, and it is to speak in tongues. And speaking in tongues is you permitting the Holy Spirit to use you to pray to the Father in groanings that can't be uttered by you, right? And so this is a gift that was given to all of the early church. When they found somebody that hadn't received this gift, they said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" So it's something that comes after you believe, right? They prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And today it should be the same, but there's people out there preaching against the Holy Spirit, just as they were in Jesus' day. So, and 1 Corinthians 14 and 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. This is good. If you're addressing a congregation in the gift of tongues, you need to give an interpretation. If you're just praying to God in tongues, not necessarily addressing the congregation, you don't have to have an interpretation, but it's good to pray for the gift of interpretation. And if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And of course, if you give a tongue in church, it's the same thing. You're not doing them any good unless you give the interpretation. So, but if I pray in tongue personally, my spirit prayeth, and my understanding is unfruitful, but I am built up, according to what the Word says. Speaking in tongues builds you up, and that's a good thing. It's not talking about your flesh up. It's talking about building your spirit man up. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. This is what Paul said. Should we be any different? No. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. That just lets you know praying with the Spirit is not praying with your understanding. But he wants you to do both. And I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. This is another direction in prayer. You know, we can sing in the Spirit. I do it all the time. I love it. I feel the edification of it. And you can do it too. Just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Gather some saints around you who are filled with the Holy Spirit. not any that have any particular demons. You don't want them, but gather some around you that are filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit-filled life, and let them pray for you to be receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is needed and necessary where we're going. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 13 and 7. Now we pray to God that you do no evil, not that we may appear approved, but that you may do that which is honorable, though we be as reprobate. In other words, this is not to build us up, it's to build you up, you know, that you do no evil. Father, I pray that the disciples out there, those who are truly disciples of Christ, that they do no evil. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. This is not for the glory of man, according to this text. It is for the glory of God, that they do no evil. It's obviously a prayer that God will answer because he put it in the Bible. And it's obviously one he wants us to pray. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Wow, there's one of them very all-inclusive type prayers, you know. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit. There it is. Once again, you need to be able to do this. It's a gift from God. It's the most common gift given because it's the most important, contrary to what you've heard people say. It is the most important to be able to pray according to the will of God and always get answers because the Holy Spirit doesn't know how to pray in unbelief. That's right. This is an important thing. You can pray about things that you don't know the answer to, and ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you about things you don't know the answer to, and he knows the answer. And he says, do it at all seasons, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Yes, we pray for all of your saints, Lord, that they first of all learn how to pray in the Spirit, Lord, and be blessed with the same exact power of the Spirit that the early disciples received in the book of Acts, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Philippians 4:6 says, in nothing be anxious. Well, this is that's a wonderful word right there. That don't worry about a thing, is what he's saying. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. In other words, you're praying and you believe you've received, so you're giving thanks. Right? Let your requests be made known unto God. Yes. So don't worry about a thing. I know that a lot of people worry, and it destroys them and their health and their prayers and everything. But the Lord says, don't worry about a thing. If he says don't worry about a thing, then there's nothing to worry about. So just go to God in prayer and believe and give thanks, right? Your worry is actually blocking God. It's unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief, right? In Colossians 4 and 2, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving. So when you pray, give thanks. And do it steadfastly. Continue doing it. Make it a habit in the Spirit to do it in Jesus' name. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, to which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. Wow, what a prayer. This is something that, you know, this is so powerful that we know we can pray this for others because the apostle did it here. We want people to be worthy of their calling. And the calling is your invitation. Kaleo, invitation. What have you been invited to? You've been invited to partake of all the benefits of the kingdom of God. And yet so many people live as paupers in the kingdom. but we've been invited to partake of this and fulfill every desire of goodness. Do you have a desire of every kind of goodness? Or has lust robbed you of that? We need to have a desire for all goodness. When we look in the mirror and we see Jesus by faith, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we want that. That's what we want. That's our gift. That's our inheritance. That's what the reconciliation is all about. He made the exchange. That's our gift, and that's us. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Every desire of goodness and every work of faith. Amen. Oh, let your works be of faith, saints, with power. Lord, let your works be in your people. Your power be in your people. Thank you, Father. Let the world may know that you still live and you still do your works through your saints today, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now, I know it's not opportune a lot of times to pray vocally, but your prayers are heard. Even if they're spoken in your mind, you're heard. They're heard by God. So pray without ceasing. And pray in the Spirit and pray with your understanding also. And don't stop praying. Make time to pray every day and do it wherever you go. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and be glorified, even as also it is with you. Amen. Well, I say the same thing. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may be glorified and that the Lord may do his work through us. And we will pray for you, that the Lord be glorified in you and that he is able to do his work through you and in you. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let your glory be manifested in your saints, Lord, that we may glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. Yes, your prayers are hindered if there's wrath and disputing, if there's arguments, if there's faction, if there's criticism, if there's bitterness. These things will all stop your prayers from being answered. We don't need that in these days. We got to have a God who hears us. And if he's going to hear our prayers, he's telling us right here, without wrath and disputing, we will be heard. And lifting up holy hands. Some people don't like that lifting up hands thing. Oh, that looks too Pentecostally or whatever, you know. Well, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. Thank you, Father. We can lift up holy hands. Well, and if we've got holy hands, we know our prayers are going to be heard. Thank you, Lord, that we're walking in the light that we have, and that as we walk in that light, you're going to give us more light. And in that way, we will be holy from here on, because we're doing what we know to do. Thank you, Father. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, some people think this is just a prosperity doctrine here, but it's not. He said that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. There's the condition right there. As your soul prospers, you have a right to prosper and be in health. Amen. God can't trust some people with prosperity. You can see what they do with it out there. You know, those preachers that just live in total greed, you know, and plundering the people of God when they should be supporting and building the kingdom of God, not their own kingdom. So that's a stench in God's nostrils, obviously. And he's going to do something about it, too. James 5:15, and the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. And then he gives the wisdom that I believe makes verse 15 available to us. 16, he says, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. This is an opportunity when people confess their sins. You know, there's an opportunity for healing, whether it's spiritual or physical. It's still true. And when people confess their sins, pray for them that they be healed. That's a good opportunity there. It's when they're humbling themselves to God. Don't pass it up. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Amen. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. And of course, this is when, if we confess our sins, that's the next verse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Do you believe it? Confess your sins and you get cleaner. You get cleaned up by God. That's why demon-possessed people do not confess their sins. They never confess their sins because the demons inside of them know they will lose their house if they confess their sins. So they use pride and they use religion and they go around in circles, but they don't want you to confess your sins, right? Because there's power in that and sanctification and fruit in that. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. That's never been truer, you know. The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore of sound mind and be sober unto prayer. Amen. Be sober unto prayer. Okay, thank you, Father. Here's David's prayer for deliverance from enemies. It's in Psalm 3:1-8. And the note there is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are mine adversaries increased? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there are that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now, I'll just give you one guess who these people are. Some people would say these are the people of the world, but no, that's not the problem we have. The problem is with the so-called people of God. Yeah. When the people of God fall away, they're the most dangerous to the people of God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Now, see, God wants to work that faith in us. That's why he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Glory be to God. That's where we get to grow. We get to feed on the good food in the presence of our enemies. They are bread for us, as was said. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he answereth me out of his holy hill. Amen. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustaineth me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of the people that have set themselves against me round about. Well, you can, you know, David, Job didn't have anything on David. Not a thing on David. I mean, you can't read very many Psalms without finding out that there were a lot of wicked people against him. And it should be so, the same today. If we're walking in righteousness, there should be some railing wicked people around us. It will happen. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of the people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, all my enemies, and thou hast broken the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings be upon thy people. Selah. Amen, Lord. That's one of our prayers right there. And here's one. It's great. The prayer of Jabez for blessing. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my borders. You know, that kind of speaks about enlarging his footprint. You know, where it is that he has an effect on this world, right? Enlarge my border. That's his promised land. You know, we get our borders enlarged by walking and standing on more of God's promises, right? Enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Amen. That it be not to my sorrow. And God granted him that which he requested. Well, he was more honorable than his brethren, and he asked of the Lord. You have not because you ask not. Ask the Lord to enlarge your border. Ask the Lord to keep you from evil. Ask the Lord to grant your prayers. And thank you, Father, for doing it for Jabez, and you're no respecter of persons. You will do it for us. So we ask you for this, Lord. We thank you for it, too, in Jesus' name. Okay, here's Jonah's prayer for deliverance and salvation. Jonah 2, 2 through 9. And he said, I called by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol cried I. Have you ever felt like you were there? And thou heardest my voice. He cried out in his affliction, and the Lord heard his voice. For thou didst cast me into the depth. And he does everybody in one way or another. We go through the death, burial, and resurrection, and Jesus applied this story right here to his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's true of us too. There's a part of us that just needs to die, you know, and we got to be willing to give it up. For thou didst cast me into the depth, into the heart of the seas, and the flood was round about me. All thy waves and thy billows passed over me. And I said, I am cast out from before thine eyes, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. Amen. Yes, it's rough. I'm in a bad spot, but I'm keeping my eyes on you, Lord. Right? Look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The deep was round about me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth, with its bars, closed upon me forever. Can you imagine what he went through? I mean, he probably felt the pressure, you know, as that great fish was going down, right? Yet hast thou brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. It seemed impossible, except God has control over everything. He works all things together for our good, right? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Yes, if you suffer, call upon the name of the Lord. Cry out to God, and believe he hears you. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Yes, the vain people of the world, they don't pray. They think they can handle it. They don't need God, you know, but they're forsaking the mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. Lord, we too want to pay our vows according to what David said in the Psalms. And we want to sacrifice unto you with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That we know you hear our prayers, and we give thanks unto you, and we want to be confident. We ask, Lord, that you take all sorrow and grief away from your people, and let them be confident that you answer prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. And here's David's prayer for purity and for Zion. Psalm 51, 10 through 19. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Yes, Lord, this is our prayer. This is our prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Yes, Lord. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Yes, Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Fill us with joy, Lord. Help us to keep our minds on the gospel, on the good news of what you have promised unto us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us, you know, like Jonah, keeping Jonah, and heading us off in the right direction. And uphold me with a willing spirit. Yes, Lord, work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, Father. This is what salvation is all about, our faith towards you, and you working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, let us be well-pleasing unto you. Give us the gift of being well-pleasing unto you, Father. Bless us and draw us by your Spirit, Lord. The old flesh cleaveth to the dust, Lord. But if you draw us, we will come running after you, just like the Shulamite. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Well, Lord, if you work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, we'll be able to pass on what you've given unto us, and sinners will be converted, not to us, but to you. And, of course, we don't want to pass on the old life, the old nature, the lusts of the flesh, which many people do through their words of preaching and through their laying on of hands. They do pass on these evil things. But we ask you, Lord, that we be effectual in bringing sinners to be converted, because we also have been converted. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Yes, Lord, deliver us from any guiltiness. Lord, let us perform towards your saints those things which you have taught us to do, Lord. And don't let us be guilty of any other person's harm. Let us look to everything around us and do what we're supposed to do. Even many times if we can't do anything physically, but we can pray. We can pray without ceasing. And, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Yes, Lord, when we open our mouth, fill our mouths with your word, your praise, your righteousness, your purity. Thank you, Lord. For thou delightest not in sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou hast no pleasure in burnt offerings. Well, when you really realize what the burnt offering represented, it's us offering up our flesh on the altar of God, you know. This is something we have to do constantly. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me, right? We offer up our flesh is a burnt offering when we go through the fiery trial, and we do it God's way. We choose God. We choose faith. We choose love. We choose those things that don't come natural in the trials of life and with the wicked around us. We choose those things. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Yes, Lord. Lord, give us that broken heart, Lord. Give us that broken spirit, O Father. A humble spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask. We know that when we come to you, you'll receive us and you'll give grace to the humble. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Amen, Lord. Bless your bride, Lord. We're not talking about Zion over in the Middle East that's filled with sinners that don't have any desire for you whatsoever. We're talking about the heavenly Zion, the bride, as was told to John. Do good in thy good pleasure to Zion, Lord. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Sanctify your bride, Lord. The walls are for sanctification. Sanctify your bride, Lord. Sanctify your man-child, Lord. Sanctify your people, Lord. Let your people come into what the bride is coming into and what the man-child is coming into. Let your people come into this. In Jesus' name we ask. Then wilt thou delight in the sacrifices of righteousness, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Well, isn't that interesting? He said he knew that that wasn't necessary, and now he's saying in burnt offering and whole burnt offering, because it is necessary for us to lose our life in order to gain our life. The old flesh has to be burnt up in the fiery trial, right? So in first he was talking about the physical things that people thought gave them forgiveness. But it is our being granted repentance and turning to the Lord with all of our heart and going through the fiery trials that the wicked put us through every day in order to make those right decisions that we need to make. And that's when we gain more of God. We need the trials and the troubles and the tribulations. We are put through these things for a purpose. Then will they offer bullocks upon thine altar. That's right. That's when it happens. Lord, we thank you for giving us understanding of these things. And Lord, when we read your word and we show us the parables of these different things that happened in the Old Testament, Lord, because they're living parables for us today. Everything that happened to them was for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age has come. And so, Lord, we just ask you that you would open up and give us understanding so that we can be in your will. We can cooperate with you in the process of this sanctification, Lord, to build up the walls of Jerusalem, Lord. Lord, let your holy people be powerful. Let them go forth and bring forth the true gospel that manifests righteousness in the saints, of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Please help us to pray without ceasing. We ask in Jesus' name. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in every good thing. And, Lord, let us pray. Father, we ask that you help your saints to pray without ceasing, constantly, all the time. Pray, pray, pray. And the reason, of course, that you tell us this is because your people who know you and know your word and know your process of sanctification are the ones whose prayers are being heard in the earth today. Other than that, the sinner's prayer of repentance is heard. But the rebellious, you know, you're not hearing. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope you can go back and read the texts of these verses, not my comments, that you'd have to get the audios for that. You can listen to the comments, but you can pray these verses, you know. These are awesome revelations of prayer in the scriptures. Pray them. Pray them. You know God will hear them. you know he'll hear them because he wrote them. Right? Amen.